Amen. Let's get started then. Turn with me in your Bibles. Oh, glory to God. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. And let's go to verse 19. And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministereth and knit together increases with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Now here he says, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of this world. That word rudiments is a word that means the first principles of matter. If you're dead from the basics of creation, is really what that word is saying. Now he's talking about really being dead from trying to walk out your own righteousness. He's talking about being dead from the limitations of this world. And really, if we take this to the level this word can apply to, is saying, why are you living in the world when you can live in the kingdom of God? He's saying, why are you, if you be dead from Christ, from the rudiments or the basic principles of matter, why are you living in this world system when God's made available you can live at a higher level? And we started looking, in fact, this series is on the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and we started looking that as citizens of God's kingdom, as born-again Christians, we have a right to live in a kingdom above this natural kingdom. And what we're going to get to before we're done in this is where Paul in 2 Corinthians declared that he was caught up in a vision or however in body or out of the body, he didn't know. He was caught up to the third heaven. We found out that there are different dimensions that actually exist. We found out that God's throne, where the angels go on vacation, amen, where people go when they die, there is a third heaven realm, a heavenly realm, where there's no sin, no tears, no sorrow. That is an actual spirit realm. We found out as well there's a first heaven realm. That's the earth. In fact, we found that first heaven realm was really anything created of natural matter. It includes the entire universe, at least in my thinking it does. A first heaven realm. We also found out there's a second realm, heaven, the realm of the soul, the realm of thought and emotion. And all those three represent different kingdoms or different realms that a person can operate in. Natural man, scientific man, logical man, is bound or limited to operating in the first heaven. Science itself is the study of what can be witnessed or measured. And because it's limited to what you can see, touch, feel, or measure, then science itself is limited to only operating out of the first heaven. And a person that's limited to living out of scientific thought alone, out of logic alone, can only access man's strength, man's intellect, and man's results. God says, as a Christian, you are qualified to operate in a much higher level. Now, let me throw this in as well. There are people that have learned to operate in a higher level of power than the first heaven that aren't Christians. There is a second heaven realm. We're going to look at this before we're done. Probably not tonight to any great level. But there's a second heaven realm that is the realm of thought and emotion where witchcraft takes place. We understand that when Satan was kicked out of heaven, he was cast down to earth. But how many know you don't see devils in here right now? I mean, somebody may, but normally you don't see devils in here. But they are down here on this earth. But they're in a realm you can't see. The demonic operates out of the second heaven realm. Witchcraft operates out of the realm of the soul, out of operating out of demonic assistance. And so man himself can operate out of one of three realms. You can operate out of the natural, which includes but is limited to man's strength. You can operate out of the soul realm, which includes the assistance of the demonic, witchcraft, and the powers that cooperate with that. Or you can operate out of the spirit realm, which is God's realm. And the higher you go in the leveling of the heavens, the higher level of power you have access to. And of course, we understand that to team up with the demonic is to operate and fight against the things of God. Right. And there's a whole lot of people that are trying to copy or simulate the things of the power of God operating with demonic assistance. But God has called us to go to a higher level and operate out of our born-again nature and out of our access to the kingdom of God's power. Right? You can either make a deal with God, be born again and operate out of His power. I'm assuming you, if you want supernatural power. Or you can make a deal with Satan and operate out of his power. You cooperate with God, He'll have you walk in love. You cooperate with the devil, He will have you require you to operate in evil. Amen. And they both have power levels, but God's power is higher than the devil's power. But each of these three represent different kingdoms. Now, in the past couple weeks, we've been looking at the basis of this universe, and really, we've been talking about what makes up all of matter, you know, that we're experienced with. And we started finding out that if you go down to the subatomic level, down which makes up atoms, we find out that atoms themselves are almost purely vacuum. Remember that? We started finding out that what makes up these chairs, what we think is such a solid and really sometimes heavy substance, is almost pure vacuum. Remember that teaching? And that if you took all the atoms that made up a man and you squashed out all the empty space, the most powerful non-electron microscope in the world couldn't see you. Because you ain't all that. We found that if you took Mount Everest and you squished out all the empty space, that it would fit inside of a Kroger bag. That there is that much vacuum within matter, that much empty space. We found that if you took the entire earth and crushed it down and we squeezed all the empty space out of the entire earth, it would fit inside Rupp Arena in Lexington. That's how much empty space is in the earth. We found out that there are particles that have zero charge, that they've measured, they come from the sun, that they measure as many coming from the sun as they point their collector at the sun, as if they point the collector at the sun at night and the particles pass through the earth. That there are particles that can go all the way through the earth without being affected. Because it's basically empty space. And so, we as naturally minded people, as we were raised up, were taught to just put all our faith in, all our dependency upon what we could see or what we could touch. Right? What we could detect with our five senses. And what we're finding out, and what I'm teaching you now is not theory, it's actually scientific fact. What we're finding out is what we have so much faith in is really an illusion of substance. It's virtually an illusion. The only thing that makes you think there's a chair there is when you look at it, is the energy particles that make up that chair, because we found out all these particles that make up matter, they're made of energy. They form energy fields that reflect light. And they make that chair look solid when in fact it's far from solid. We found that those energy particles, they form lattices or combinations of atomic structure that the energy fields reject energy of the same type. So I can't pass my hand through that chair. But in fact, if not for the energy fields present, my arm would go all the way through that chair. And we start understanding that at that level, things operate by a different set of rules than the natural macro realm we live in. I've come to the conclusion when you get down to the subatomic level, you start stepping over to the particles that come out of the realm of the spirit, that operate by spiritual laws versus natural laws. Now, in fact, understanding that these particles that make up the subatomic realm don't operate by the normal laws of physics would help you understand why Jesus could walk through a wall. See, Him being even in a physical glorified body, Him being in that body is still almost pure vacuum. The wall, pure vacuum. All He has to do is restructure the energy field that makes up His body, and He can walk right through it without the resistance of the energy forces repelling one another. Amen. So when you start to understand the laws that govern the quantum realm, it can help you understand how miracles can take place. Remember the multiplication of the loaves and fishes? How did that happen? Well, last week we started talking about the ability to teleport and the ability of the quantum realm to replicate itself. And I believe Jesus understood how to use his authority to access the laws of the Spirit to cause multiplication to take place. And God has called us to operate in those same laws. I believe God wants to raise up a quantum generation in the last days. They recognize they're not limited to the first heaven's power supply. They're not limited to the first heaven's wisdom. They're not limited to the first heaven's results. They can go beyond, and the word says, we can call things that be not as though they are. It says in Romans chapter 4, that's what God does. He calls things that be not as though they are. And God just learned how he could say light be, and the substance of the realm of the Spirit would flow into the natural and produce results. The Word makes it clear that everything in this universe is held together by the Word of God. Without the Word of God in operation, this entire universe would explode into one blast of energy. Totally cease to exist. Because God's words, I'm getting ahead of myself, God's words carry the power to reform the placeholders of matter and hold it in position. God's given us the same authority. See, I believe if we get a hold of the laws of the quantum realm, you can break your arm and say, arm be healed according to my original DNA pattern, and that bone has to go back together because of the power of words. If we believe, because faith makes the connection to that realm. Faith links us into that realm of the quantum. Jesus put it this way. I believe the words of Jesus. How about you? He had cursed a fig tree. The next day it was dried up from the roots. And the disciples were saying, how did you do that? They'd been following him for some time. And still they're saying, how do you do that? And he said, if you have faith, you can command a mountain to be thrown in the sea. And if you don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you say shall come to pass, you can have whatever you say. Jesus understood that words. Oh, glory to God. I'm going to get way ahead of myself if I'm not careful. Words form an image. When you speak to someone, the words you speak form an image. For example, close your eyes right now. And I just say the word cat. Chances are you saw a cat. But what if I say an orange cat with gray stripes and blue eyes and no tail? What happened? All of a sudden, now in your mind, the words I spoke formed an image that was more pronounced, more defined. Well, God, when he put in place this entire creation, he just said, light be. King James says, and God said, let there be light. The actual Hebrew rendering is light be. Planets be. Man, well not man, animals be, whatever. He just spoke it into existence. God, when he created this universe, which is more of an illusion than it is real. Oh my goodness. This realm we live in is more of an illusion than it's real. It just gives us the illusion of being substantial. And because we've been fooled into thinking this realm is so substantial, we believe it's unchangeable. But God said, I gave you authority in your words to create images that will change the alignment of the particles, the energy particles that make up this realm. Did you follow that? He said, if you'll command a mountain to be thrown into the sea and not doubt, it will obey. Because he's saying, your words have the ability to create an image that through the authority I've given you, all of matter has to obey and align up to the image you create. He told Abraham, I want you to look at the stars. He said, I want you to count the stars. And as all the stars you count, all you see, that's going to be the number of your seed. So when Adam would look up, he'd see the stars. He'd start to see the faces of all his descendants. probably even name them. Amen? Isaac, Jacob. Start to name the stars. And what it did, it created in Abraham an image that God was going to take, even though he and Sarah's bodies were dead, it was going to take, it created an image in him that he could see life had to come forth. And as God told Abraham and Sarah to change their names, from Abram to Abraham and Sarai to Sarah, meaning father of nations, mother of nations, father and mother of many, as they would look outward, it would create a picture in them of what God had promised. As they spoke, they were verbalizing, they were releasing their words to say what God had promised. And out of that, the word says, even though their bodies were dead, to reproduce, that God resurrected their physical bodies, that Abraham gave forth birth, not just to Isaac, but several other children to follow. He called those things which be not as though they were, and they had to come into manifestation. That's the power of a Christian getting hold of the quantum realm. But as long as you put all your faith in what you see and can touch, and you're just caught up in that, you can't move in it. You gotta become heavenly minded. In other words, the word calls it spiritually minded. You gotta let your mind go over beyond into that realm of the supernatural. And the truth is, this whole operating of things supernatural is easy. It's easy. All you got to do is let your mind go over there. All you got to do is become spiritually minded. Pastor Jack, I like the realm I'm in. Doesn't matter if you like it, God called you to higher. He called us to live beyond. I believe where Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." It was more than just a door of salvation. It was a door to move in the realm of the Spirit as deep as you want to go. How deep into Jesus do you want to go? But understand, going into Him is going into the realm of quantum. It's going into the realm of the laws of the Spirit. You know, we brought some of this forth last week, but I want to do it again. We started finding out, you know, what we looked at last week were man's exploration of the subatomic realm. And we showed some videos last week from Dr. Quantum about how they found into the realm of the Spirit. There's no such thing as location. Remember, we found out they were able to find out that some items would appear as many as 3,000 places at the same time. One item, but it had 3,000 locations simultaneously. Not split up. The whole item in 3,000 places. How can that be? Because in the realm of the Spirit, there's no such thing as limitation to location. We find it in the realm of the Spirit, there's no such thing as limitation to time. In fact, I made a list here I want to talk about here for a few minutes of comparing what we've always described about God and looking how it compares to the realm of the quantum. See, we've always talked about God as being omnipresent. Right? He's everywhere. How can God be everywhere? Well, we've always thought of, I guess He's just this big mist throughout the world that you can't see spread across earth. No, He's in multi-location. The fullness of the Holy Ghost that's in you is the same fullness of the Holy Ghost in me. There's not just a little bit of the Holy Spirit in you. The whole Holy Spirit's in you. You know, He's not like the Flash. Remember the comic book, The Flash? And the Flash could run real quick. He'd go over here, and then he'd run over there, and he could run over here. Sometimes we think of God being like a super Flash. He can just choo over here, choo over there, choo over there. No, He's in all of us at the same time. He's not limited to location. So where the quantum realm has no such thing as location limitation, the quantum realm is also potentially omnipresent. In fact, we found out last week that a lot of the particles in the subatomic realm don't take up defined location until you look at them. In other words, that electron, they found out according to Schrodinger's equation. Didn't you love that one? That according to Schrodinger's equation, an electron is in a form of a wave that could be defined in having many locations potentially. But when you look at it, all of a sudden it takes up one of those locations. That the quantum realm is omnipresent until man gets involved. And then it becomes, operates as a natural substance. We found out last week about a principle called entanglement. Do you remember entanglement? Entanglement was talking about where two particles are made at the same time or they come in contact, and no matter how far apart you take those two particles, even from one end of the universe to the other, whatever happens to one of those particles instantaneously, without respect to time, instantaneously happens to the other particle. They come in covenant. How many know God's a covenant God? And instantaneously, whatever happens to one happens to the other. So in that entangled realm, that covenant realm, we also have a level of timelessness. They've done experiments on subatomic particles. They found that they could shoot two particles traveling at different rates. But because they were entangled, they would get to the same destination at the same time. And along the way, they exchanged time. See, that just went way over my head. I don't know about yours. It went. How do you exchange time? This one's going faster, and all of a sudden they're at the same place. And along the way, one of them gave time to the other one so they get there at the same point in time. No time limitation with God. How many know God's not limited by time? Your past, your future, and your present are all the same to God. That's why He can bring forth the prophetic word. Because He already sees your future. And I might throw this out. Because you have a prophecy doesn't mean you'll fulfill it. Because God sees in your life a whole set of, an infinite number of possible outcomes for your life. And a prophetic utterance is what God's plan is for your life. But you choose whether to be led of the Spirit and take active steps to move into it. Your daily efforts determine whether you can fulfill that prophetic word. But the prophetic word, again, connects to the realm of the quantum where there is no time limitation. Also, we'll get to this before we're done. We talked about the gate to the Garden of Eden last week, that there's a certain area of the quantum realm man can't look at because it changes the behavior of the subatomic particle or that system. But what I want to talk about now and spend some time on is, how many know that God is omnipotent? Omnipotent meaning without limit to His power. God is of an infinite power potential. And the realm of the third heaven is one of infinite power supply. We talked about this some, I believe, last week. And we found that this whole universe is in the process of winding down. It's in the process of literally burning itself out. Scientists understand this. It's in every thermodynamics textbook that exists. It's called the second law of thermodynamics. It's called the law of entropy. This is all of the universe is in a process of running down. Therefore, they know because it's running down, there had to be a day of creation where at one time it was already wound up. So you can't be winding down and have infinite time pass. Otherwise, you'd already be wound down. So then there had to be a beginning point. Science calls it the Big Bang. Amen. And I don't doubt that there was a Big Bang. I believe God could have spoken, bang, here it was. Light be, boom. I mean, I don't know the flow of the particles as they potentially separated and formed the universe. I don't know how that took place. And the truth is, neither does science. When they try to define the Big Bang, they find that the 90% of the matter necessary for the physics to work for the Big Bang doesn't exist. So now they have other theories they're trying to fill in the holes with the Big Bang theory. And the point is, they're trying to explain everything without the existence of a God whose hand was involved in it. And they can't do it. But all of this universe is in a process of burnout or wind down. You set a cup of coffee, hot coffee on the counter, and it cools off. You can leave that coffee back on the counter till the cows come home. That heat will not come back in that cup. It's called lost energy. It escaped into the atmosphere, and it experienced the law of entropy that says in every reaction that takes place in the universe, there's always some level of lost energy that's unrecoverable. And so we know that this universe is in a process of winding down. In fact, years ago back when I was in school, they would tell us that every machine, every operation, every process that takes place, there's always lost energy. Anytime you try to do work, there will be lost energy in it. Even the moon, as it's going around the earth, every year the moon is further away from the earth in its orbit. Because the tides of the earth, you understand the moon's gravitational pull affects the oceans and produces the tides. As those tides move, they waste energy. And as they do, the moon, because there's energy lost, moves out from the earth just a little bit further. And every year, the moon is going away from the earth a few more inches. I mean, they measure it. I mean, they can measure the distance to the moon right now within a very fine fraction by lasers. So they're measuring how far it's moving out. And they won't tell you this, but based on their measurements, the earth can't be billions of years old, or else the moon and the earth would have been smashed together sometime during their days of all this life being, you know, evolving. In fact, I've got a book in my office that the guys calculated how old the earth can be based on how far away the earth is from the moon now. And if it's more than just a matter of about 6,000 years, the moon's gravitational pull would have killed everything on the earth. And so, everything is in a process of winding down. There's no such thing as a perfect process. Except we used to say at the subatomic level. You know, back when I was in school, they used to tell us that the only perfect engine that exists is the atom. And they would tell us that the electron moving around we're going to get into it now. They would tell us the electron moving around the nucleus of the atom was a perfect engine because it never wound down. That in fact, they know that if that electron moving around the atom followed the normal laws of physics, it would virtually burn itself out in less than a millionth of a second. And that atom would cease to exist. But for some reason, the electron, as it keeps going around the atom, it's a perfect engine. But now, in recent years, they found that not to be true. They found that there's something out there that keeps adding energy to the electron. Something that keeps adding energy to these subatomic particles, holding them in operation. And we're going to find out, I believe, it's the hand of God keeping this creation in motion. Now, they have done experiments for some time. In fact, I believe it's back in 1946 when they first defined this property. But you know, they used to tell us back in school that in a perfect vacuum, there's no energy. That if you take a container and let's say you take a bottle, a jar, and you hook it up to a vacuum pump, and you pump all the air. How many know inside of air, there's, like right in here, there's air in this room. And that air in this room has energy connected to it. This, what is it, 73 degrees in here right now, probably. 73 degrees in here represents the amount of energy in the air in this room. And they found out, it was always thought if you took all the air out of a room, out of any area, then there'd be no energy inside that container or that sphere, whatever you're in. But they started doing measurements, and they would pull all the air out of the container, pump it down to virtually to zero. And they found out they could still measure radiant heat coming out of that container. That even though there were no atoms no molecules left in here, that there was still heat coming out. Small amounts of heat coming out of that container. And they defined that as 0 point energy. That if you take an area and you take all the matter out, y'all still with me? All the matter out of that area, that there's still energy that exists in that area, but they can't explain where it comes from. So with 0 point energy in mind, they started doing measurements. And they started finding out there some from other dimensions. Remember we talked about dimensions last week? That from another dimension or dimensions coming into this container were all types of particles that would appear out of nowhere. All types of them. And they would exist for an extremely small amount of time, and they would disappear back to where they came from or somewhere else. And they started finding out that there were massive amounts of these coming in, that what we thought was empty space with nothing happening, it's like a shopping mall of activity. In fact, they found that there's more activity taking place in a vacuum than takes place in what we call matter. And just to cut to the point, I believe this 0 point energy is what's actually replenishing this creation itself. Now, Psalm, go ahead and put up that introduction video. I'm going to put a couple videos up. They only last about 2 minutes. Just to let you know, I'm not making this stuff up. We'll let him explain some of this. I'll go ahead and get the next one ready. And what they're saying is out in what we call empty space, here on Earth, out in space, wherever, there's massive amounts of energy that's coming into existence and disappearing simultaneously in almost a perfect balance. And what they're saying is if we could learn how to capture that energy, we could create spaceships or create machines that could run and never have to carry fuel. If you could make a 0 point energy car, you'd never have to add fuel. It would just pull the energy out of the creation. And we're going to find out that there's an infinite amount of it, way more than all the gas. There is more 0 point energy apparently available within this room than all the gas on the earth. It's that infinite in supply. And I believe it's accessing the realm of the spirit. So put up the next video, and it's about the same length. Now again, this is not a Christian video. This is just a science technology video. But he said there's enough 0 point energy. He held up the glass. We'll just say this can. To evaporate all the world's oceans. Does that boggle your mind or what? Then how come that Pepsi can isn't melting? How become, you know, the Pepsi staying cold in there? Why is it still there? Because here's what's going on. They found that if we take this bottle, for example, they found that there is massive amounts, this is the energy they're talking about in infinite supply, massive amounts of particles coming in. But at the same rate they're coming in, others are going at it at a precisely balanced rate. That in all of creation, there is more energy right now in this room. There is more energy coming in this room than all the nuclear bombs that could ever be, that exist on the planet. Coming in here right now, that would virtually fry us to crispy critters. But there's a balance that exists at the same rate it's coming here right now. At the same rate it's coming in here right now, it's being taken out at the same rate. In a perfect, perfect balance. The only imbalance that exists is what we call the 0 point energy. See, if I've got all these we'll just call it gazillions of particles coming in here, and they're going out at the same rate, even though it's a perfect vacuum. We've taken all the air out. The little bit of imbalance of that we measure, the very infinitesimal sliver of imbalance that exists, is measurable as ZPE, zero-point energy. When we measure zero-point energy, which is very small, it's merely the imbalance of what's existing as energy. Massive energy is coming in and massive energy is going out. This should have had you wondering right now. Now here's what's going on. I believe God is breathing this massive energy in to keep everything running and taking it out at the same rate to keep it in operation. Otherwise, it would burn up. God's hand is on creation, keeping this balance in place. Turn to Psalm 145. Let's take it another level. Psalm 145. Are you there? Verse 9 says, "The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." Now, there are several Hebrew words that are translated mercy. But I believe what holds this entire universe in operation is the very mercy of God. Without the mercy is more than God not just, you know, throwing into hell. The mercy of God is His hand upon this creation. It's over all His works, keeping it intact, keeping it charged, and keeping it in balance. See, I believe in the Garden of Eden, this balance was perfect. In the Garden of Eden, the balance was perfect. But when Adam sinned, death came upon the earth. The balance was thrown off. And instead of all creation maintaining perfect harmony with the kingdom of God, perfect harmony where there was no corrosion, no corruption, no aging, when Adam sinned, when the curse came in, it caused zero-point energy to be lost, and everything went into a process of winding down. Everything fell into corruption. Amen? But God has given us as Christians the access to His anointing, to His power, that we can actually ourselves bring restoration. Instead of us having to experience wind down, we can experience wind up. And if we really understood what was available, now don't let me lose anybody tonight over this, but the worst is our youth is renewed as the eagles. It says Moses at 120, his strength wasn't abated, lessened, his eye wasn't dimmed. No telling if he had not, you know, sinned, how long he'd lived. But guess what? He saw the glory of God. Carried it for a while. Now, this verse here, see, I believe the mercy of God's holding this all in place. Without God's mercy on creation, it would fly apart. Y'all ready to get tripped out now? That word mercy there, His tender mercies over all His works, holding it intact. That word there is also a word that's used for womb, as in the mother's womb. Now let me show you what takes place in a mother's womb. Y'all remember that picture? Could be a test. You know that God aligns and correlates everything in the realm of His kingdom with things in the natural. He says, "I'm the vine, you're the branches." He makes spiritual comparisons. Well, with a baby in the womb, let's say we have here the mother's womb. Now, you don't get upset about my drawings, okay? We're going to draw it in a technical fashion. Inside the womb, we have, I don't know if I'm drawing this right or not, we'll call it the placenta. Does this look all right? Inside of that is our baby. Now that baby has his own blood system, right? His own digestive system. Separate from the mother's, the baby can even have a different blood type than the mother. In fact, in many cases, if the blood of the mother were to mix with the blood of the baby, it would kill one or both because of mismatched blood. So what God has done in this design, God has put in place an umbilical cord from the baby to the placenta. And the mother as well has connection. I know I'm not drawing this quite right. Also has connection to the placenta. And it becomes a, what would it be? It would become a exchange medium for what the blood of the mother's carrying to transfer it to the blood of the child. You follow me? So how many know the baby can't breathe in the womb? But he still needs oxygen. Where does he get it? From the mother. The baby needs to eat inside the womb, but he can't eat. Where does he get his food? From the blood of the mother. So what happens here is in the womb, the mother brings in, she will bring in food, nutrients in the blood, and she'll bring in oxygen, food and oxygen, from her blood system to the placenta. In that placenta, there is a barrier or an exchange medium that through osmosis, it lets the oxygen from the mother come into the blood of the child. So that oxygen actually, even though the blood doesn't exchange, the oxygen from the blood systems moves from one to the other. Not only that, the food also moves. So the mother has a connection to the child to supply everything the child needs to stay alive. But the problem is whenever you have cells that are burning oxygen, they give off contaminants. So that child in both eating and drinking and breathing and everything through the blood system, it's going to give off carbon dioxide. It's also going to give off some waste through its blood. That CO2 and the waste get to the placenta, it's exchanged and carried back through the mother's system, who then has the ability to dispose of it. That baby's disposal processes are limited. So it has to use the mother system to both intake and exhaust fuel and waste. And this takes place in the baby at a balanced rate that allows that baby to grow properly, you know, until birth, without either being starved of oxygen or dying of too much carbon dioxide buildup, or whatever waste buildup that might exist. It's at a perfect balanced rate. So within the womb, this womb and the placenta become an exchange system of perfect balance to allow the protection and development and growth of that baby. And the same word, womb in Scripture, the word rachem, is a word that's also translated the mercy of God. See, God also, this universe being His baby, through a spiritual, through a transfer medium, I'm just going to call the gate to the Garden of Eden or dividing line between spirit and natural, to every particle in this universe, every atom, you know, with this electrons moving around and all that. God has energy coming from the realm of the spirit through the womb of His mercy, breathing massive amounts of energy in place to keep this operating. Remember we said an atom without something refueling, it would burn out in less than a millionth of a second? So it takes massive amounts of energy to refuel that atom. So God's refueling the atom at a rate that keeps it operating in perfect balance, and He's taking the waste energy back out the exact same rate. And this is taking place with every single atom in the entire universe. God's hand of mercy is on every particle that makes up all of creation. And without that hand of mercy, it would cease to exist and explode into energy. The womb of God keeps a child alive through balance. The mercy of God, His spiritual womb, keeps creation in operation in a similar fashion. Can I go to a few verses to do with that? And so what we see here, and again, understand in that Pepsi can, in the glass, is so much energy coming in that it would boil all the, it would evaporate all the world's oceans, but it's in such perfect balance that the Pepsi can stay cool. Isn't that awesome? That's the hand of God on creation. And see, this infinite supply of energy coming in and going out represents God's omnipotence. How much power do you need in your life? How much energy do you need in your life? Amen. How much supernatural do you need? God has no limit to it. He's showing it to us in the very pattern of nature itself, of creation, that He's got so much energy coming in, we can't even imagine it. And as I said, it's in every square inch of the entire universe and all the space in between. Infinite power supply. God is omnipotent, and He demonstrates it at the quantum level. And scientists are totally baffled. Where is this energy coming from and where is it going? Where are these particles? Remember, the particles are made up of energy. So what will happen is there will be particles come in, and there may be a, let's just for example use the term, there may be a electron come in and an anti-electron at the same time. And when those two come together, they just dissolve in energy. Well, somehow these particles are coming in and going out at the same rate, keeping everything in balance in an omnipotent fashion. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's look at some more verses. See, this stuff virtually boggles my mind. How much power does God have? We can't imagine it. Nuclear, they said that compared to the amount of energy that exists in a vacuum in the form of what they can measure through zero point energy, if they could access that energy, it would make nuclear power seem like a firecracker. There's that much energy out there. So if you could find a way, here's what they're talking. See, they're trying now to design zero-point energy engines. And they're already tapping into some of it, but their target is before our oil supply runs out, we can access zero-point energy. And if Jesus doesn't come back, they probably will. And so the goal is if you have this container, remember our jar, and the particles are coming in? If somehow you could capture those particles before they disappear and access the energy, instead of just having zero point energy, you'd have way beyond nuclear energy they could grab and use before it disappeared. And scientists right now are working towards that goal of accessing that energy coming in from another dimension. What they're attempting to do is to pull forth the power of the realm of the Spirit and use it in the natural. See, I don't doubt that this zero-point energy, and understand it's really the two energies come together and what's left over that we can measure. See, I believe we as ambassadors of God have the ability to capture that energy. See, I believe this is a representation of the anointing. I believe we have the ability, if we really knew who we were and knew our authority, we could access that power and move mountains. We just got to learn how to do it. Got to find out who we are in Christ Jesus. Let me go to a few more verses. Psalm. Oh, I didn't write that verse down. Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verse 1. Have mercy upon me, Rakam, the womb of God. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. There it is. Blot out my transgressions. Take away my waste energy. Take away that which is corruptible. God's tender Rakam has the ability to take out of our life that which would destroy us. Just like the womb of God, that's the same word, the womb of God, has the ability to take out of creation or out of the baby system that which would kill it. Psalm 103. I love to see this stuff. It excites me. Psalm 103, verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Same word, Rakam, the womb. Through the womb of God, through God's quantum transfer system, His zero-point energy connection, He redeems our life from destruction. Without God's hand of mercy on our life, on this universe, everything would cease to exist. And people want to say, well, I just don't think I need God anymore. You wouldn't be here without Him. You can't exist without Him. He's holding all of creation together by the word of His power. What an awesome God we serve. The word says the heavens declare His awesomeness. The more scientists are discovering about the quantum level, the more they're finding out just how phenomenal this universe is and all of creation is. And you start to look at the power of this in zero-point energy, you recognize the Big Bang didn't just come out of the natural. Now understand, these particles that are being breathed in, I believe they're coming out of the realm of the Spirit. Coming out of the realm of the Spirit and going somewhere else. God is keeping this thing in operation. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 17 are about being led of the Spirit, right? Being heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. In verse 18, Paul says this. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. God wants to reveal His glory in us. I believe the glory of God is the overflow from God's system, where entropy and corruption are the underflow from God's system. Did you catch that? Death, corruption, corrosion, entropy are all results of not enough energy coming in to replenish this realm. The glory is from an overflow. Coming in contact with God's quantum system. He says, for the earnest expectation of the creature. See the word creature? Could easily be creation. It's talking about this universe. The earnest expectation of the universe waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. How many know that's us? It's saying here that all of creation, all the universe is waiting for, it's looking forward to our manifestation. For the creature was made subject to vanity or powerlessness, not willingly, but by reason of Him who has subjected the same in hope. In other words, all of creation, when Adam fell, all of creation came under the curse. It came under the system of decline, and not because creation did anything itself, but because Adam fell. But God has subjected all of creation to this system of decline in hope of a restoration, because the creature itself, verse 21, because the creation itself, the universe itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. The bondage of corruption, that's entropy. That's decline, that's corruption. The bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Get this. God is raising up a quantum body in the last days. He's raising up a spiritual body, a glorious bride without spot or wrinkle. In other words, without natural reflection. He's raising up a church that's learning how to operate in the anointing and how to reverse the corruption of the curse in their lives. And this is all of creation is looking forward to the manifestation of that last day church that will carry the glory, because they have the ability to take the curse off of creation. They have the ability to bring back the power of God to bring creation back to a place of overflow versus under provision. We are that body. Now I know this teaching to some people is like maybe boring. It may be like that's too much for me to comprehend, and you think, teach me about the cross. But the reason for this teaching is so you can see that this universe is more than we thought in the past, more subject to change than we thought possible, and there's more power here than we ever thought available. And God gave us the power of words to transform the structure of this realm. See, because we're so caught up in the natural realm, we think words are just words. See, we can see the chair, but we can't see the words. Let me say that again. We can see the building. We can't see the words. If I say finer than a frog hair, did you see a frog hair floating anywhere? You might have pictured it in your mind, but you didn't see it. You didn't see the vibrations of my words. But Jesus said, behold, my words are spirit and they are life. My words are anointed. My words have authority over what you can see. Understand, in the realm of the stacking of the three heavens, whatever's of the higher level of heaven has power over the lower level. So when you speak words that are spirit, they have power over even that which you can see. Just because you can't see the words don't mean they don't have substance. They have substance in the realm of the spirit, because they make a faith connection to the infinite power supply of God and have the power to restructure the very form of creation itself. You know, when somebody comes up in a prayer line and they have an infirmity or they have an injury, oh, Pastor Jack, my back, can you heal my back? I don't have to somehow comprehend that God would, you know, do this major miracle where, you know, new bones are formed and all I got to do is say, God, realign things to the proper quantum code. Amen. Get it back how it's supposed to be. Let the particles realign whatever's got to be done. Let my words have the power to restructure that. Let your power come forth out of that realm. And you just release it. And watch God do it. Whereas we used to really just force it, thinking natural effort was going to produce a supernatural result. It's all by faith and by the power of words. I feel like I could go another hour on this right now. But we won't. We've been given access to the realm all that energy comes from. We just got to open our eyes up to see it, to see that unseen possibility. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for sealing in the hearts, minds, and understanding of each one here. And those that have been challenged by it, don't let them be fearful of it. And Father, Lord God, I ask you just to take us all to that place of wanting to operate in the realm of your power supply, your love, your mercy, in Jesus' name. Can I go one more passage real quick? Go to Psalm 136. Psalm 136. I was going to close, but I want you to see this. Remember we talked about the mercy of God being the womb of God? Now we're about to read a passage here, and the word mercy is not the same word, rakam. It's the word hasid, but hasid is the word most closely aligned to the word agape, which is versus the atmosphere of mercy, the love of God. I know I'm going a lot of places real quick. Y'all just bear with me. But remember, we said the mercy of God holds all things together, right? Look at this. Psalm 136, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him who alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that stretches out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that made the great lights, for His mercy endureth forever. To the sun to rule by day, for His mercy endureth forever. The moon and the stars, He goes on and on, for His mercy endureth forever. What I want you to see is, He's talking about the creation of this universe, about the miracles that took place, and He interweaves every other statement. His mercy endureth forever. I believe He put this in place because God's mercy is interwoven in this entire creation, holding it intact, what He created on that first day and beyond. His mercy endureth forever. Hug some necks. Share the love of God. Be blessed. Amen.